Hey everybody, it's Mark Pattison. I'm back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming going to adversity and finding their way. I stumbled over that a little bit, Kim. Anyways, before we get to our great guest today, I've known her for a spell here. I want to redirect you to my new website, www.markpattisonnfl.com. It's got a lot of great stuff, including my public speaking. I've got a new book out, Kim, right there, Finding Your Summit. We'll talk more about your books in just a few minutes. There's also a free giveaway called What's Your Everest? You want to figure out a way to actually accomplish things. This is a 65-page free giveaway. Go onto my website and download that, and off you will go. And I also have an event coming up here in September. We'll talk more about, but stay tuned on that. Okay. On that note, let's get into my wonderful guest. I've known her for quite some time. Her name is Kim Alexis, former supermodel back in the 80s, my era.
Yep.
Kim, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I know that we originally met at the Steve Azar event down in Mississippi. That's always a challenge to get to, but both you and the hubby and myself and Doris always find a way to make that happen, even though it's a bit of planes, trains, and automobiles, but giving back is what it's all about.
Yes. Yeah. And I find that being around other people that love to give back is great also because they're just warm and kind and friendly, and you meet new people as you and I got to meet each other. So good, like-minded people.
It's fantastic. All right. So, Kim, a lot of this today is about leadership and how we go forward. And I think you've done a really great job of reinventing yourself several times. And even though obviously I was never a supermodel, but when we start talking about a lot of your fame came back in the 80s when you were on Sports Illustrated, I think 6 times, and then that blew up to a lot of other things for you. But beauty only lasts so long, and it's superficial and all those things. And so that you have to reinvent and you go forward. But let's just go back and talk about, you're in Buffalo, you get discovered, and what that was like to be 17 years old, and then having that kind of fame come at you at that kind of speed at that time in your life, with you really trying to digest what that all means for you going forward.
Right. Well, a lot of it was also learning the fashion business because I was a swimmer. So I had never looked at magazines. I'd never put makeup on really. I didn't know any of that. So there were a lot of new things to learn. And for me, I just kept my mouth shut and listened to all the experts talking about whatever it was, makeup tips and fashion and all these different things and photography and really just keeping my eyes open because for me it was learning. It was different for you, I guess, because you transitioned from high school to, college and then off to the pros. But for me, it was a whole new business. So I really had to keep my mouth shut. And it was more about showing up and being prepared, just like an athlete, but you have to show up and you have to be prepared and ready to go and have a good mindset. And that's what I learned. And I learned I had to set boundaries about what I would and would not do and where I would and would not go and how late to stay out. And I was just turned 18. So I had to learn to do all those things on my own. I no longer had a coach. I no longer had parents to tell me what to do. I was alone in New York City and I could have spiraled out of control, but I don't know. I had a good head on my shoulders, still do, hopefully, and so I survived.
I think like a glaring difference, and one of the things that kind of a difference between like my career and a little bit between you and Steve. And I had Steve on last week, and we talked about longevity, and this is what we're going to talk to you about too. And that is, as an athlete, I capped out at 30, and then you go off the cliff, and then what, right?
Yeah.
And in the it, with Steve, as it relates to being in the music business, and for you, there's no cap. I mean, there is kind of a thing where people decide whether or not they want to have you involved in their campaigns. And I know a gal that you had taken over in 1983, Lauren Hutton on Revlon, and it seemed like she was like kind of like the ageless wonder. And so it's all possible for older models, gals like you who've had an earlier, very successful career, keep going on. But it's very definitive. Not necessarily that at 30, every professional athlete goes off the cliff, but it was just like, okay, what are my life skills now? What can I do? And I was really good at catching the football. And beyond that, I didn't have a lot of value to offer to other people. So how did you evolve that?
Well, for me, I think I pretty much retired from modeling at 26 because that was when my Revlon contract was done, my Ultima 2. And so then you try and go back to the regular modeling, which was a lot of catalogs and covers and things. And now, even though it was in the early 80s, now I have a brand.
Yeah.
And we back then didn't quite know what a brand was, right? But it was interesting because no longer was I doing these little catalogs all over the place because I was in a different position. So then you look around. So for me, I got an agent. So I got William Morris as my agency, and that was literary broadcasting, all the different divisions. And they had me go on a call to Good Morning America. So I showed up and sat down at a meeting and just talked to this one woman. And she's like, "So, do you want the job?" And I said, "Doing what?" She says, "We need a fashion correspondent." And I said, "Okay, I'll try it," because my parents had always raised me to just try new things. I was never really worried. I figured you could always just try. And if you fail, you fail and do something else, right? So that was my mindset. So I said, "Sure, I'll try it." She said, "Great, you're live on TV tomorrow morning." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So I just launched right in live TV with, at the time it was Charlie Gibson, and Joan London was actually out on maternity leave, and went on television and they introduced me. And so I did weekly spots for the fashion segments, once a week for 3 years.
Good for you. And while we're on the kind of whole broadcasting thing, I did read that you were on Oprah. I wanted to hear about that because I saw the segment with Oprah last night. And talk about somebody, I wouldn't say she's necessarily reinvented herself, but a lot of it's kind of surrounded the whole subject of weight loss and trying to really maintain it and being, okay with where she is today, which, by the way, she looks fantastic at 71, and what she kind of wants to do going forward. But there was a moment in time, it sounds like you're on the Oprah show and also Larry King. I'm just interested because I used to watch both those. I mean, not religiously, but certainly Larry King was an icon in the media business, and Oprah is a, I mean, what she did was nothing short of just spectacular. And even in this interview yesterday on CBS Good Morning, she was talking about that she can't even believe she is in that position that she is in today.
And what gets you there, I guess, is what we ask as broadcasters or people. You and I, we're in front of the camera now. So it's like, what makes that successful? And I think it was her love of other people and trying to help other people and really curious about what makes them tick. And she was just very good and warm and friendly. And she was wonderful to me. So I just really enjoyed it. I think we did a fashion segment. And then I was on also on Best Bodies, believe it or not. She had all these different categories of people. So one was football. I don't know why you weren't there, Mark. One was like wrestling. It was all these different things. And then they had me as the model to have Best Bodies. So it was pretty interesting, but it's fun. It's fun to be on her show.
Yeah, well, again, you're kind of tapping into this, and this is what, again, going back to Steve Azar, because this is how we met. He's just done a great job of staying in the game and being open to a variety of different opportunities, and then within each one of those segments, being very kind and friendly, which you are, to the people that are within that vertical, to want to, whether they have you come back or that there's a beginning and an ending, to then take that and leverage that to your next thing. And one of those things too, and I swear to God, of all these things I've done and climbing these mountains and Everest and Sports Illustrated and these other things, the hardest thing I've ever done is write a book. And today, my final version just came today. And so I'm going to approve it and we're going to go forward and stamp it. But I was looking at your book and you've done, I think, 10. And I don't know if Slick Tips is your last book that you did because there's a kind of descending the way you display them. But I was just blown away. Like, this is so hard for me, and you must be a naturally gifted writer or something. Very difficult.
I know. And actually, what was learning on Amazon, because they're ebooks. So I had to learn on Amazon when I was in school. I was a great student. So I loved being a student. And that doesn't go far in the modeling business, by the way. But I love the whole idea of writing and then backing it up or using a quote to enforce what you were trying to say. And with Amazon, you can't do that because it's plagiarism. So everything had to be, I feel, this is what I learned, this is what I think. And it was just a whole different way of writing where I didn't have to take a quote from somebody or back it up like a bibliography or anything. So it was pretty neat,
Yeah.
just the learning process.
Well, again, I go back to what I just said. I mean, this took me 2 years to do, and you obviously are a more skilled writer than I am. But when you think about your life and how you want to organize that and what would be interesting to somebody else, and then do it with some kind of story tied in, so it's not just sporadic going over
Right.
here or going over there. I found for me that was a very difficult process.
Oh, yeah, no, I like that
See, that's why you're a good student. I wasn't. So that's all good. Okay. So one of the things I know you've done other writing in Yoga Journal and Better Living or Better Nutrition, Men's Journal. You're writing for a magazine that I was in charge of at one point. So this must be something that just comes natural and you love to do it and you just love, coming up whatever you're inspired with for the day and then how that's going to go forward. And why I say that you've got this. I saw this on your website, to inspire healthy living around the world, to empower women to believe that true beauty comes from within. And so I think, now we're jumping over generations and we're kind of coming front and forward to today, kind of what you're doing as you're continuing to stay relevant, which is awesome. You have these 10 books, you've had this past, career, but I think it's really around this whole health thing. And we're roughly the same age. And I'm in the same zone, right? So it's a point in time in at least my life where you're kind of starting to see, well, I don't know if I'm on third base or second base or what, rounding home, but
Right.
I'm going to try to like maximize every single minute of that and eat and do things that are going to benefit my life, my body, my health, my spirit, and all that kind of stuff in the best way.
Right. And part of that is I'm the wellness ambassador for all the Trilogies, which are active adult communities around the country. So I get to make meal plans for them and encourage and inspire them. And because I was the wellness ambassador and some of that is fitness, I went and got certified as a group fitness instructor. And I just finished completing my integrative health practitioner certification. So I now studied more functional medicine and how different things affect other things and symptoms and at-home testing. And so that's where I'm at now, is just diving deep into that.
So a lot of people are caught up in this whole thing about inflammation, right? And that has such a just a amazing, well, I wouldn't say amazing, but a detrimental effect,
Yes.
right? In terms of the way people feel, their joints hurt, disease. Give us a couple tips on reducing inflammation in your body and just trying to, again, going back to this whole thing about inspire healthy living, to be the best version of yourself.
Right. So part of inflammation is what you're eating. So certain foods are inflammatory, like your wheats and your red sauces and like tomatoes and your nightshades. So I stay away from that if I'm achy. Other people would think it's oxalates, and I can't even give you a list on that right now. But the other thing to do would be to take more omega-3. Most likely, many of us are imbalanced between the omega-3 and omega-6s. So we get tons of omega-6s in our diet, and what we need are more omega-3s. And most of us don't eat 4 to 5 servings of salmon, sardines, anchovies, or mackerel. Those four things are very high in your omega-3. So because we don't eat those, many of us should supplement with omega-3s, and that will help reduce inflammation. But you should not take it if, and I'm not diagnosing anything, but you should not take it if you have blood thinners, if you're on blood thinners, because
Yeah.
it thins the blood.
Yeah. Well, that's
That's
reason
why I'm so healthy is I grew up in the great state of Washington, Seattle, where we have major amounts of salmon flowing through the Pacific or Puget Sound area and out into the Pacific Ocean. So it's a great place to be. As you are thinking about
Because I think let's go back to the mental health of this. Good friend of mine is Mariel Hemingway, and she's really, deep with, just because she's had five suicides in her family. And we're not talking about suicides as much, but I think around this whole thing about healthy eating, and you just kind of we're zeroing in more on the nutrition part of that. And I think there's the mental wellness, and I'm just talking about, being in the environment that you live in. I live in Sun Valley, Idaho, because that's where I choose to live. You're down in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's beautiful weather there most of the year. Maybe not last week when it was pouring down rain, but most of the time, it's a very happy, joyful. The sun brings out certain things, but it's just not about the sun. It's the community. But how do you feel about that in terms of trying to really integrate this whole thing?
Well, I grew up in Buffalo, so I was happy growing up. I didn't know any better. I mean, where we grow up, we don't really, most of the time, we don't have a choice where it's where our parents want to be. So to me, it's all mindset. And I'm always looking at positive. I'm always looking at the future of what I want to do and my potential and how can I help other people. I think that's super big for mental health is giving back, because when you give back to others, it's pretty hard to be depressed and self-centered. I'm also very good, I've learned at compartmentalizing. So I'm right now struggling with my parents. My dad's just gone downhill pretty quickly and just came home yesterday from moving my mother. And it's upsetting. It's upsetting seeing my dad, and he's disoriented and angry, and he's in a memory care unit now, and it'll make me cry if I think about it. But I have to compartmentalize that because life moves on. And yes, I love my parents, but I can't dwell on that. I don't mull over things. I like set them aside on a shelf and pick them up when I need them or need to take an action item. But I can't just sit there and soak in all that grief or all that hurt or whatever it is. So life goes on, and I think that's huge for me is compartmentalizing.
Yeah, good for you. And that's certainly a talent. I'm the same way. And my mother is 91, and she we call her Mary Poppins because she's got a lot of energy and high. But like a lot of people over 90, she's starting to really lose a lot of her short-term memory. And so, for the last year, we've been trying to move her into a just a assisted care. She can still be on her own, but there's a social community, and they cook meals and everything else. And every single time my sister and I went to go address that, it was a battle. It was a battle. It was a battle. And, angry. And finally, I just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And she's lived an amazing life, 90 years of just, well, 91 years of just, doing a lot of things and going places. And she was a teacher for many of those. And if she falls down and that's it, then she did what, and she went out how she wanted to go out. But I'm certainly not going to fight that. But it is hard. Because it's just a reality in her mind. She thinks she's just normal. In everybody else's mind around her, it's just like forgetting this, and we don't want her to like leave the burner on and the house burns down or something like that. So yeah, so anyway, it just is what it is. And I think when you can do that, getting this back to, it's just not like you're both of our parents, but it's really this whole topic around knowing how to deal with certain things that come up in everybody's life. And if you haven't had one, guess what? It's coming. And how to just like deal with that on its own and then go on, and while life doesn't have to stop and go backwards and really think about things going forward, which is sounds like you've got a great ability to do. Awesome. Good for
And
you.
I don't ever want to be a victim again. I mean, I've had two divorces, and instead of dwelling on all that, you just pick up and you move on. And there's tons of life stuff. We all have it. It's just a matter of how we deal with it.
So when like on a day-to-day basis for you, what does that look like for you? Because I know everybody's got something slightly different, but between when you wake up and you have your nutrition, you probably sleep is important to you. And then again, I've been down close to where you live, and there's a lot of amazing hiking there that you can go out, and I'm sure especially as it gets towards the summer, you want to get a lot of that done in the morning. And then as you kind of then migrate inside where there's air conditioning, it's much more comfortable. But day to day, how do you balance that all out?
I number one, I think I'm probably different than some others, because when I was modeling, I was self-employed, and some days I would be at this place, and some day it was this place. Some day I'd do my makeup, some days it was done. Never knew what lunch was. So I became very good at adapting and not necessarily having to have a routine. And so I find that I'm a pretty much of a free spirit at home, and I know I have certain things I want to get done in a day. And so I'll have my exercise clothes on. I have to walk the dog in the morning. He always wants to go out, super early. But it's just knowing what you have to do for that day and then getting that list accomplished. But I don't sometimes do it in an order. Like today, it was like I didn't wash my face until 9 a.m. And so sometimes I do it at 5 a.m. And I don't know. It's just for me, I just know there's things to do and get them done.
Okay, so we're staying on this subject. 2026, we put 2025 to bed, right? And that was that. And as we move forward, do you have any new projects? Do you have another book, book number 11? Do you have a TV show you're taking over NBC or something? I mean, what? Tell me what you're doing because you've done so many things.
I'm actually starting new businesses. I opened a new LLC this morning, and I'm starting a podcast within the next month or so. So I'll have to have you on mine. And then I'm also starting a subscription-based, I guess, I don't even know what you call it, where you can buy health and wellness, different ideas of how to change your life or tweak things. And, we're working on that. I have a nutritionist friend of mine who's very good at all that. And there's some things I'm not good at. So some of the administration stuff I'm not good at. And my husband, Jeff, has been teeing up while I was moving my mother, teeing up all of the podcast stuff and talking to the producer and getting everything ready. So I've learned that I'm not good in doing it all, and I don't need to do it all. So we're delegating and finding that that frees me up to be me and focus on what I'm good at. And so I just love being in front of the camera. I've always been a ham.
No, you're good at it, and the camera loves you. So, good on you for that. And Jeff, your husband, by the way, is a good guy. So he's a great partner to have out there for you. So I'm happy. I know both you guys equally, and it's just fun to see a partnership that works.
And to be happy. Being happy is amazing.
It's I know it is. I know. I mean, I've got a great situation, here in Sun Valley as well. I think that the gap, the word that you were missing that you were looking for was you were creating these online courses. And so that's going to also be,
Well,
something.
I'm creating subscriptions and then I'm doing online courses. So I want to do a teaching course, oh, sorry, do a teaching course also, but there's a subscription base where people can subscribe and we'll teach them how to go grocery shopping or clean their pantry and eat clean or how to identify toxins in cleaning products. Keep hitting the it's like I'm on a seesaw. So just identifying how to clean up your life, basically. There's
Love
so many
that.
areas, as you know, we're surrounded by toxins, and some we can do things about and some we can't. And then the integrative health helps because if you need at-home testing to figure things out, like I did the hair mineral analysis test where you take the hair from the back of your head and found that I was super high in mercury. And so we learn in class that mercury is found in big concentrations in tuna, tilefish, sea bass, and what's the other one? Swordfish. So staying away from that and trying to dump the heavy metals. So there's different programs and detoxes you can do. And so just having people, I mean, there's so much information out there, but some people do trust what I have to say because there's living proof because I'm 65 and, haven't done any surgeries and this is what it is, So we all want to look and feel, as you said, young and be mobile and fluid and, my big judge is whether I can get off the ground without pushing, right? Have you ever done that where you're sitting like crisscross and you just try and get up?
Yeah, that's a hard move.
It is, but that's supposed we used to be able to pop right up. And now my knees are a little creaky and it's like, okay, how do I get rid of that? So just trying to stay young and mobile. That's what we're all trying to do.
Well, it's similar to what you just said about, well, I was talking about Oprah, and she was talking about on CBS this morning, how great she feels at 71. And I feel the same way. I know you do too, from what you just said. And again, having a healthy body. I mean, so much of it is about the way you want to live your body. And I wouldn't call them sacrifice, but the discipline of not staying out to all hours like, you could when you're 20, and drinking, amounts that you shouldn't be drinking, and having moderation within all the food groups and the drink groups and all that kind of stuff that you have. And then exercising and putting that, and then surrounding yourself with people that really support you in a way that you can thrive, that are out there. And I think, well, I don't think, I know for you, it's just been nothing but a win-win-win. I don't know, the last 20 years, or 65 years, or where that starts or begins, or there's cutoff points, but at the end of the day, it's where you're going, and where you're going is really positive and really wonderful.
I know. And I think that the enthusiasm you and I have for health and wellness and getting out there and being active and doing things hopefully rubs off on other people. Like, ooh, I want to be that way. Or I want to start something new.
Well, come join me anytime at 6 o'clock in the morning with a headlamp and go straight up the mountain, and you'll be right in there. All
Oh, I would
right,
love
so
that.
where can people find you?
So we're redesigning some of the website for the podcast, but I think it'll all link back to kimalexis.com at this point. And so the
Love
ebooks are on there. Some of my old blogs that I was writing when I was working with you are on there. And just different wellness tips are on my social media. So Instagram is the_KimAlexis and Facebook is the_KimAlexis.
it. Cool. Love it. Love it. All right, everybody, go check out Kim. She is a breath of fresh air and positivity. And when I was going on checking, even though I know Kim, but I went on to your website and I checked it out. You've got a lot going on. You've got a lot of historical stuff, and it sounds like you've got stuff going out into the future, something to look forward to, and certainly something that we can all learn from. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
All
Well,
right, there she is, the one, the only Kim Alexis. Thank you.